Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. It's Tuesday, June 22nd, 2010, and you just heard a cover of the normal I Love Movies, Doug Loves Movies theme song by Hard and Firm. That was a cover performed by the band Motion City Soundtrack, and you guys had trouble with the clapping on that because they totally changed it up. And I'd like to bring out the man who helped to make that happen, the drummer for Motion City Soundtrack. Please welcome Tony Thaxton, everybody. Tony. Get out here, Tony. There you are. Go ahead, sit down on the last one there and say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And So you're in this band, Motion City Soundtrack, which is an awesome band. You should check out their most recent release. It's called My Dinosaur Life, and it's available on iTunes and wherever you get music.
Correct.
And Tony, we met through Twitter.
We met at Bob Hope Airport first.
Yeah, you came up to me at the airport, and you're like, hey, you're a comedian. I come see you at UCB. I'm in a band. I'm like, you're in a band. Get out of my face. And then we conversed through Twitter because we were both going to Vegas, and you were like, hey, I've got an extra pass for the, what was that thing called? The
Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah, the CES.
Yes.
And he's like, Tony's like, I got an extra pass, and my band's going to play. And I'm like, oh, I'll come by and get the pass and see the thing and see your band. And I saw your band play, and you played like an acoustic show.
Yes,
kind of.
In 3D.
Yeah, it was in 3D at the Consumer Electronics Show. I was like, oh my God, that band's like right in front of us.
Twice.
It's like 3D. We really did have 3D glasses on. It was crazy. But then, so that was cool that you got me in there, but I saw your band and I thought, oh, those guys are cool. They're a totally cool, mellow band. And then a few weeks later, I got to see you at the House of Blues, and you guys totally actually rock it out and don't play acoustic-y all the time. So
it's true.
Great story, Doug. But thanks, Tony, for getting the rest of the band to do that. I know that the guys live all over the country, maybe even the world, so they can't be here tonight.
Yeah. Everybody's actually on their way here, but they're going to be here in like a couple of hours, so no one else.
Yeah, they're going to get here too late. So
yeah.
You're the band member that gets all the glory from having done that. And listen at the end of the show, because you'll hear the outro music is also by Motion City Soundtrack. Let's
contain your excitement, please. Yeah.
No, you got a lot of fans, so I welcome them to the podcast, and now they have to listen to everyone. They've been indoctrinated. I've got a little business to take care of before we bring out. You can see there's two other chairs out here. That means there's two other guests. I just want to say that I had a great time at the Helium Comedy Club in Philly last weekend. The Thursday night show was like 60%. Podcast listeners, which I almost busted out a Leonard Maltin game for the audience, but I thought the other 40% would be like, what the fuck is this? We came to hear about weed. So I pledged to that audience that very night that I'm going to do a live Doug Loves Movies in Philadelphia someday. And when I say someday, I mean it the way that John Lithgow meant it when he pledged to me that he would come on my show someday. Still waiting, John Lithgow. Like Harry banished to the woods. Lithgow! So Toy Story 3D came out, and it's number one. And I just want to say quickly before bringing the guests out that somebody should, and maybe they already have. Do you think they have, Tony, made somebody should make a porn version of Toy Story? And Buzz and Woody can be a vibrator and a dildo made of wood. That would... No one would want to play with them. That would be really sad. You don't have to say anything, Tony.
I got
it. I phrased it like I was asking you a question, and then I just made a dumb joke, and then let's move on. Please welcome, in addition to Tony Thaxton from Motion City Music...
That's the Twitter name.
Motion City Music. Please welcome the biggest guest we've ever had and the smallest guest we've ever had. Steve Agee and Ellen Page are here, you guys.
Hello.
Awesome. That's all right. I'll take it from here, Doug.
Now you're Steve, correct?
Yes.
Hi, Ellen. Say something to everybody so that they know your voice.
Hey, everybody.
Nicely done. We all, what? Some of the audience yelled some shit. That usually doesn't happen here. We usually get very polite audiences. So the two of you, Steve Agee and Ellen Pagey,
Not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah,
today.
You said it backstage, and I ran with it. You met making a movie, right?
Yep. Yeah. I met her in January. I can't say we worked on a film. I worked for one day on a movie that her and Rainn Wilson were doing called Super.
And in that one day, you guys became fast friends, or did you already know each other?
Ellen, take this.
I'll take this. Well, I was always a fan of Steve because...
She had no idea who I was.
Of course I knew who he was. I'd seen... I love the Sarah Silverman program, and so I knew who Steve was.
Right into the mic, Ellen.
These microphones are crazy.
I've never done a podcast before, and Steve said he was taking me to Real Food Daily, and all of a sudden we were here.
I told you I'd get her here.
Wait, so you totally tricked her into doing this?
Yep.
She never wanted to?
Nope.
No. That's a joke.
Not that she didn't want to. She just, I didn't want to give her an option of saying
but
no.
But I double checked with you. Like, is she cool with coming out and
yeah, she is
doing
well,
this?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Steve and I met... Because we bonded over, you know, laughter, and we started talking about movie ideas, and we were someone was saying that, like, we don't need butts, and that's crazy, and we were thinking of all the...
It was Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, he was wondering why we have, you know,
cracks
asses.
In our butts.
And
dubbed so the shit can go out without making you explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and without cracks in our butts, how can we eventually make ourselves into a human centipede? So you guys are writing a whole screenplay about that notion?
It's evolved.
Then we started talking, or Ellen was like, would you just shut up with your butt theories? And we're like, we should write a movie called Butt Theories. And we would email back and forth ideas. And then when we actually got together to like, yeah, we should write something, we're like, not butt theories.
Not butt theories.
No.
You got your first idea, throw that out.
Yeah.
Then the next idea, that's going to be genius.
Yeah. It is genius.
What kind of theories is it?
Is it still theories? It's, no, nothing.
Don't say anything if you don't want to say anything. Don't give anything away.
What's Chris Nolan this shit?
It's called Avatar. Ellen and I invented this amazing 3D technology. And we were like, fuck, dude, we've got to make a movie for this technology.
Well,
they've got a lot of.
I don't know what to say to that, but I will say this. As many listeners know, Dark Knight is like one of my favorite movies of all time. So since January 5 or 6 or so of this year, when people ask me, Doug Benson, what are you looking forward to this year? My answer is always Inception.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this movie and excited that you're here and you're in it.
Oh.
I'm not going to ask you anything about it.
Why would you?
Well, because first of all, she doesn't talk into the microphone. And so no one's going to hear it anyway.
I'll take it out.
Pick it up and also put a little heat on hers.
Yeah.
Let's fire it up.
That's what she said.
Right? Bam. So, no, but also, it's just that's the kind of movie where when the trailers are on, I watch it like this. I like run my hand in front of my face. I'm like, is that Ellen Page? I can't tell. Because I am so excited about a movie from Christopher Nolan that like is from, you know, from wherever. I don't know if it's based on anything. Is it based on a book or anything?
No, it's totally original, and Chris is awesome, and I had an amazing time on it. He wrote it, yeah.
Oh, man. The
visuals in it are amazing, but it also is, fortunately, it's one of those trailers where you walk out, you know, after you've seen it, you're still not sure what it is you're going to see, and you wish you were seeing that instead of what's about to start.
But you
which
know,
is how I felt when I saw Letters to Juliet. What?
She was saying, you know, there's a scene in the trailer with the two guys fighting in the hallway, and it's like they're floating,
they're
kind
flying,
of matrixy.
Fly fighting, yeah.
That's like not effects. They made a hallway that would rotate.
Well, hey, well, can you just?
I'm sorry, Ellen. Ellen, you tell.
You're ruining.
You were
it for
actually
the children.
There.
No. I don't want you to.
No,
talk
she
about
means
that.
Like the, I hate all the behind the scenes stuff on the DVDs. Like I don't want to know how Avatar was made. Like the fact that it was made at all is reason enough for me to not go. No, but so I'm very excited about Inception, and a couple times I called it Conception because I couldn't remember the name, so I apologize for that in advance. But man, that was, like today I saw a commercial for it, and Michael Caine is like yelling at you or saying something to you in a Michael Caine sort of way. That must have been amazing having Michael Caine.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Leonardo DiCaprio as well. Like you must have watched both of them when you were a child.
Yeah.
I remember
when I was 12 and Titanic came out.
Oh my God.
It was
insane.
It was a magical time.
I think I got
my 43 when that came out.
I think I had my first hemorrhoids when Titanic was out.
Oh, because you had to sit there for so long?
That too, yeah. Old.
All right. Well, let's move on to motion pictures that are currently playing that aren't Inception because it's not out yet.
Yes.
Have you been to the movies lately, Steve?
I think the last two movies I saw were Date Night and Kick-Ass.
So you went to a drive-in?
Not together. No, the last two movies
in,
I saw. One
April.
Was Date Night.
You went
night.
To a drive-in in April.
One was Date Night, and then the other one at a separate time.
Because drive-ins don't care about genre mix-ups. Like, you get the craziest combinations at the
I've
drive-in.
I've never been to a drive-in movie.
Oh, dude, you got to do it before
Are there any
they're dying. But
around?
There's still a couple around, right? And you got to do it because it's just insane. Like, you just see essentially, like, whatever the studio is, Paramount, Columbia, Universal, you see their movie that opened that day paired with their most recent, like, their last movie.
Right,
like,
right.
They couple, but they don't, the genres never match up, so it's always just a weird combination of, like, a J-Lo movie and a, and a,
Another J-Lo movie.
I've totally lost interest in this conversation.
Yeah. I'll go to a drive-in. Don't worry.
But you
saw
Date Night and Kick-Ass, so those are good, right?
Date Night was actually pretty funny, and Kick-Ass I loved.
Kick-Ass is, you know, Inception's got Kick-Ass to beat, as far as I'm concerned, for best movie of the year.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. Ellen, have you been to the cinema?
Yeah, the last movie I saw was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Ooh.
Which I loved and thought was fantastic. And I read the book a while ago, and you know, it's a big book, and they lost a lot, but I didn't feel like what they lost, I lost.
You thought it was a good adaptation.
Sure.
Of that long ass book.
And I saw Splice, and for that I will give a no comment.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you didn't have to bring it up in the first place.
I'm alluding to
Forcing you to name everything. It's not you're like you're on the witness stand or anything. But going back to that last one you were talking about before Splice, which one was it?
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Dragon Tattoo.
I was just reading about that today in Ooh. Entertainment Weekly. I was reading that, you know, they're banding around your name for the American version as a potential to play that part. Is that something you'd want to do?
Wow, yeah. I mean, that'd be amazing.
I think you'd be good, right?
Well, that's really nice of you to say.
You could have a dragon tattoo just like any other girl.
Do you
have
any
tattoos?
Be a
smaller dragon than some girls, but you know.
Yeah. I have no tattoos and no piercings.
Good for you. Let's start a society.
Weird.
You don't have... You have something, Steve?
She's the girl without a dragon tattoo. I've got a dragon tattoo.
I can't believe we just lost her the part. That's such a stupid thing to say. On your resume, you should have tattoos under special skills. Just in case there's a three movie...
I bet there are fucking people out there who have that on their resume. Like,
I've got tattoos.
Tattoos.
Yeah,
I have a piercing.
They might come in handy.
Yeah.
You know, you might need an extra with a dragon tattoo. But so, yeah, so that's a three movie thing. Fincher's doing the first one and with Scott Rudin, and I hope you get it.
Oh, that's really nice of you to say. Yeah, I mean,
I you hope know. You get it too, Ellen. Big
fan.
Tony?
Me too.
Tony's in.
I got you.
Wow.
No, that'd be awesome. They were talking about Scarlett Johansson. She can't do it, she's got other things going on. You know that in the course of the trilogy at some point, or maybe the first book, you could tell me, have you read all three books or just the first one?
I'm reading the second right now.
When does she get a boob job? She
the gets beginning of the second.
Yeah, yeah, she gets a boob job. So Scarlett Johansson's out. Because she's already there, you know? Like, what's she going to do? Have insanely huge boobs? Sorry, ScarJo. I'm casting this fucker. And I say it's you and Brad Pitt. Let's go.
Yep.
Let's do it. Tony.
I would do it. I mean, not...
Oh, you'd play the part?
I'd be in the movie.
Well, the dude's not supposed to be handsome. He's supposed to be, like, awesome at getting... awesome at getting girls, even though he's a giant, weird, bespectacled, smelly-looking... What?
I'll see you at the audition, then, asshole.
No, you won't. I'm not ugly enough to... No. You misconstrue what I'm saying. I meant...
No, I don't. That's...
No, in the Swedish version, it's not a handsome guy. It's like a total Steve Agee type. Keep digging the same hole over and over again. Hey, wait a minute. Don't go.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that game in a little while.
I came for the insults. I stayed for the Leonard Maltin game.
I was going to ask Tony, have you been to the cinema at all? I know you're busy touring with the band and stuff.
Yeah, I've been off a lot lately, and I've seen a lot of things. I think the last thing I saw was, I was in Virginia over the weekend. I went to the $2 theater and saw Nightmare on Elm Street. And I don't know about
Did
nice.
You get your money back?
Yeah. Well,
I want my $2!
Yeah, I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to, but I also set the bar like as low
as
humanly possible.
The new one.
Yeah, the old one's not still playing in theaters.
$2? Yeah. I'd pay to see part four for $2. But yeah, it was like, I didn't see it. as and I talk about movies that I haven't seen as if I have, I just thought my impression of it was that Jackie Earle Haley was an awesome choice, but then they miffed it by not giving him a chance to be like recreated. He was just sort of doing what Robert Englund did.
Yeah,
but now it's not Robert Englund.
Like I said, I set the bar low, so I wasn't disappointed, but I'm not exactly raving about it either.
No, you're not.
No.
And what's another one that you saw?
Well, I think my favorite thing that I've seen all year, and we've actually talked about this, is Best Worst Movie.
Oh, yeah, Best Worst Movie. I've mentioned it on the podcast. That's where they follow around some of the people involved in Troll 2.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, that's amazing.
And Troll 2, is unto itself, it's enjoyable.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Best Worst Movie just says you don't have to have seen Troll 2 to appreciate how bad Troll 2 is, because you meet the dentist who plays the lead or one of the leads in the movie, and you follow him around. So you see clips from Troll 2 throughout Best Worst Movie, and they did a really good job with that. Another documentary that's coming out this summer that I want to recommend is called Winnebago Man.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's where that dude from that, whatever that was, like an infomercial or what do you call it? Industrial film.
It's like
an industrial film for these stupid Winnebagos. He like lost his shit and became like a YouTube sensation. And in Winnebago Man, they go try and find the dude.
And find him.
Well, spoiler alert.
It would be the shittiest movie ever if they never.
Don't tell me how to get him to the Greek ends. I don't want to know that they get him there. They actually do get him there. I saw it. There's like a few moments there where you're like, oh, he's just going to OD or something, and it's going to have a downer social message at the end, but no, he got to the Greek.
Has the...
And he sang one song, as everyone does when they're a rock star in a movie. You don't do a whole concert. You sing a song, and you go home.
Has the director of Best Worst Movie by any chance reached out to you? Because I know you've talked about it a few times.
Yeah, that's how I first started talking about it, because they sent me a copy. I didn't
know. Oh, okay. I talked about it with a friend of mine through Twitter, and he saw us both talk about it, and then he actually contacted me. And apparently he's sending me something in the mail, and I have no idea what it's going to be. I don't know, they'd be excited or slightly frightened.
It's going to be a
troll. Probably a finger. It's probably somebody's finger.
Send you a finger.
Hey, here's my finger.
Yeah.
The same one I used to write that text and the tweet.
It's my tweeting mental finger. Have any Motion City Soundtrack songs been used in a soundtrack as of yet?
A lot of bombs.
Really? What's like the worst movie that one of your songs that you're playing drums on is in?
Well, there's some choices. Hotel for Dogs.
Now, see, I thought that was a pretty interesting movie, because there's kind of Don Cheadle's in it. And at the very end, if you stay through the end credits, there's a tease for Hotel Rwanda for Dogs. I love how there's somebody in the audience is laughing ahead of time. I bet you this is
going
to be funny, so I'll go ahead and laugh.
I know where this is going.
I'm psychic! I didn't say anything. Oh, but you will, and it will be grand. Okay, what else?
The Bad News Bears remake.
Oh, also? Really? So you've been around that long? Because that movie's like five or 6 years ago.
Yeah, our first record came out in 2003. We've been around for a while. And last year was my... sort of actual movie debut. That we have a poster with our picture on the wall in Jennifer's Body. So
nice.
I'm technically in that movie in
so
a weird
Jennifer
way.
Listens to you guys or has a poster?
No, her boyfriend or whatever the guy was.
A dude with a picture of you on his wall?
Yeah. He's wearing our shirt in the movie as well.
Oh, wow.
Weird. Yeah.
He's super into you.
Apparently.
It's like in Lost Boys, in Corey Haim's room, he's got a picture of Rob Lowe pulling his shirt
about?
Up.
Yeah.
But it's on the back of his closet, but he leaves the door open all the time.
Well, he's got to leave the door open so he can see it. Rob.
But his mom might come in and get ideas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is this why your underwear's so crunchy, Rob Lowe?
Think about it.
Stop eating my underwear, Ma. All right, be quiet, audience. It's time for Ellen to talk. I love the Cisco commercials. But what do they want me to buy? Like, what am I supposed to go out and do after seeing them?
I have no idea.
Really?
I think they have some products.
They're like one of the top
they're like,
companies.
If like, I need to talk to people in another country, or if I need to survey the outside of my building, those are the lessons I've learned from your spots.
I'll give you an example of one of the products that I've experienced. They have this thing called telepresence, which is like, you'll go to a place, and in their office, they'll have this thing called telepresence set up, and you'll have a meeting with people somewhere else also in a telepresence room. And it is so real. It took me like 20 minutes into the meeting to like really come to the conclusion that that was happening.
Wow. They're trying to have a meeting. You're like, holy shit. Holy shit. Yeah, Ellen, it's great. We were thinking, holy shit. No, Ellen, we want you to be, holy shit.
It was like that a little
bit. Did you have to wear special glasses?
No, you just sit there.
Fuck that, right? 3D TVs, you have to wear, like, that looks horrible, right?
I want to give you a dumb compliment, because I've seen those commercials a million times. I don't know, I watch the channels that show them the most or something. MSNBC shows them a lot. So, but the one where you find, where it looks like you're getting a ticket on your, you're about to get a ticket on your car, the move you make to leave and the way they cut on it is fucking awesome.
I said the same thing to her. I enjoy it
every time, you goddamn giant nerd.
I said the same thing to her. I was like, Ellen, my favorite one is the one where you see your car getting ticketed.
There's like that move, and I think that move is also in a crucial scene in Hard Candy.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Because I was watching that today, and something happens, and you got to move all of a sudden, and you just have this like sudden shift.
I'm awkward. I run weird. No, I run weird. There's a Canadian movie I did called Will Be Wonderful, and I run for the whole beginning of the movie, and I just look stupid. So
is that available?
Check that out.
Can we Netflix? Will Be Wonderful?
It's a good movie. Sandra Oh's in it, and. Other
God,
people.
She's stalking you.
Yeah. What's so funny is Will Be Wonderful is an ensemble, and I don't know if anyone's seen Hard Candy, but Sandra Oh is literally in it for a scene, two scenes maybe. And so we've been in two movies together, but we've only done two scenes together because in the ensemble, our stories didn't overlap.
That's what you do. At the end of something that's not going anywhere, just laugh crazy. Like it was awesome.
I know, guys. It's my
But we were talking about that backstage. At the beginning of Hard Candy, you see Sandra Oh. They bill like five actors, even though it's essentially a two-actor movie, but they give billing to three other people. So the whole movie, I'm waiting for other people to show up. And one of them, Sandra Oh. So it's like, when's she going to show up? When she finally does, it's like, oh. Because you forgot that she's going to show up, and then she does, and it's like, you just want her out of there.
Yeah.
She's just there to meddle and mess things up.
Yeah.
Be all curious. So that must be like a byproduct of acting in Canada, though. Is you're gonna have to run into Sandra Oh.
Yeah.
She like owned Canada for a while. Like you must have been like grateful that she got Grey's
Anatomy.
Well, it's
like a different
like,
actor.
While.
It's very everybody knows everyone in Canada in the film world, not in the whole country, guys. And so it's like it'll be Sandra Oh's and everything, and then Sarah Polley is, and then Molly Parker was on Deadwood, and mm-hmm. was awesome. So,
she's in everything now.
She's in everything. Oh no, she was in everything, and then she went.
Who's the new in everything person?
Oh, I don't know. I've dropped out of the Canadian film scene.
Yeah, you got out of there.
Oh,
you're the first Academy Award nominee I've had on this podcast.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Also the first person affiliated with Hotel for Dogs.
What?
First person affiliated with Hotel for Dogs also, probably.
Yeah, there's a lot of firsts tonight. I've probably seen the dick and balls of Steve Agee more than any other guest. But that's just because I click on it when he sends me links.
Yes.
When am I going to learn?
I really do that.
Every time. It's going to be his dick and balls.
I'll send an email of my balls to people with like a subject line of, oh my God, you guys, we got to go to this weekend. And then like everyone clicks on it and like all the replies are like, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, I won't. Now I'm going to miss out on some great parties because I'm not going to click on it. Miss out on some awesome events. Let's play the Leonard Maltin game, you guys.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, so let's, first of all, let me pick some contestants for everybody to play for. We got Amanda in the catbird seat here. So, Steve, you're going to be playing for Amanda.
All right.
Try to remember that. She's got a nice name tag on, like she's at a convention. Todd is holding up his name tag, like he's in a credit card commercial. I don't leave the house without Todd. Ellen will be playing for Todd. And then we have Steve over here. He's got a hat,
sunglasses. For the listeners at home, I am not sitting in two separate places.
Oh, yeah. Could you change your name just for today? Because we already have a Steve. No.
Apparently, my dick has something to add to that earlier anecdote.
The microphone fell in his lap. Here, let me get a picture of that, because people will want to see what that looked like. Make sure we document it. Hang on just a second, hey? Come on, you stupid iPhone. Oh, here we go. Nice handwork. All right, I'll send that out later so people can be confused by it. So, Tony, Steve, you're playing for Steve. Ellen's playing for Todd.
I'm playing for Amanda.
Yeah, all right. As long as everybody remembers that, we should be good. We got some amazing an amazing prize package, and of course, the two people who lose tonight, there are no losers, because they get to decide who I'm going to call a shithead at the end of the show. So please think of who you want me to call a shithead, even if you think your person you're paired up with is going to win. Because whenever I go, who do you want me to call a shithead, people go, like they want some time to think about it, and that's not going to happen. Tony is a avid listener to the podcast, so he knows how to play the Leonard Maltin game. And Steve, of course, has been on the program before. So he might know how to play.
Failed at it many times, so I know how to play.
And this is Ellen's first time, so let's start with her. Let's start with you, Ellen. And you get to pick a category. Today's Meryl Streep's birthday, so I named a category after her, Meryl Streep movies. Also, I'm going to be at Zany's in Nashville, Tennessee, July 9th through the 11th. So another category is Tennessee movies, movies that take place in Tennessee.
Jeez,
and then
wow, that's
the third
tough.
Category you have to choose from is called In Theaters Now, where we play, yeah, right? Why do old movies? Why not something that's out right now? So what do you think? You want to go Meryl Streep or Tennessee or In Theaters Now?
Man.
Pick one.
Oh, what is people
whichever
want?
One you want. Whatever you want.
You.
Which one do you think you'll be better at?
Oh, God. Neither.
There's three.
Some nerd in the audience just went, there's three. You can't say neither. Yeah. Don't cut that guy's balls off. Don't cut his balls off.
Ellen, sit down.
Okay, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, here we go. She's good, right?
I've heard.
Yeah.
Ellen, whoa, Ellen
totally wants to fight this guy now. Okay, so you get to pick a year now, so that'll help narrow it down. It's a Meryl Streep movie from either 86, 95, or 2006.
Six, 2006.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
It's a great way to win at this game is just tell the other person name that movie. That's all you got to do to win. Leonard gives this movie 3 stars. It's from 2006. He calls it a slick adaptation of a best-selling Roman Aklef. Yeah, right? Steve's got that right. Ugh. And there are 10 names to hear from the cast, reading from the bottom up. So how many names do you think you would need to hear? Like, a good opening bet would be 10 names. Good way to start.
Two
names?
Yeah.
It's the bottom two.
It's two people with really small parts.
Okay, I'll do it.
Wow. She is bold. Oh my
okay,
God.
So now it goes to Tony. Tony, you can either bid one name or zero names, or you can say to Ellen Page, name that movie.
I think I know what it is, so I'm going to say zero, and I have not seen it, but
okay,
I think I know
so
what it is.
Okay, so Tony says zero names. Now, Steve Agee,
you can go
negative names. You could say, not only can I name the movie,
I can also name this many people that are in the movie. No, or I could name the movie and just name someone from the list also. Because
name someone that's in the movie.
Yeah.
But you have to say how many names you can name.
Yeah.
The bidding goes from there.
Yeah, but I'll just have.
You'll just say
Tony,
name that movie.
Yeah, name that.
With
movie.
With zero names, you're gonna let him get it because you have no idea.
No, I. What the fuck? Of course I have no idea.
Of course I have no idea. It's from 2006 and it's Meryl Streep.
I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital all of 2006. Never saw one movie. Especially a Roman A-cliff.
All right, so Tony Thaxton, name that movie in zero names.
Is it The Devil Wears Prada?
That's correct.
Never seen it. That's literally like one of like three Meryl Streep movies I could even think of, and you happened to get it.
Well, there you go. You stumbled into it, and I'm very proud of you. And now I'm going to edit it from my phone because I sometimes play the same movies over and over again because I forget to remove them from the running. All right, let's go back to you, Ellen, to pick a category again. Would you like to guess? These are Joan Rivers' favorite movies.
Naughty.
On RottenTomatoes.com, Joan Rivers listed her five favorite movies.
Wow.
And these are three of them.
That's amazing.
Movies that take place in Los Angeles or movies that are sequels, number twos, I call them.
Joan Rivers,
here we go. This is one of her favorite movies. You get to pick the year. They're all kind of old. Her favorite movies are from 56, 77,
76, 76.
77, and 78. So 1956, 1977, or 1978? Which year?
56.
Yeah, I like that. All right, Leonard Maltin gives it 3 stars. That's probably about right. It's from 56. He says it's stagey, but spellbinding. Stagey? What the fuck did he expect from 1956? There's not enough Steadicams. All right. 1956, stagey but spellbinding, and there are... Somebody's getting a call. Somebody's getting the answer. 6 names. How many names do you think you can get it in, Ellen Page?
I'll try for 5.
5 names. Tony?
Name it. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
I don't get the option to go last.
You don't get shit.
I would have said name it too.
Okay, you're on the record. 5 names, you might get it.
That'd be so cool if I could do this, guys.
William Hopper was in this movie?
Oh, of course.
Evelyn Vardin. The great Evelyn Vardin.
It's coming to me.
Eileen Heckart.
Of course.
She's actually a known lady.
Yeah, I know her.
Henry Jones, he was always the guy who'd come in and be like, I'm going to fix the fence. And if you were an older person, this would give it away, but I don't think you are old enough. Patty McCormick is the number two billed person in this movie from 1956 that Leonard gave 3 stars and calls stagey but spellbinding.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Remade for TV in 1985.
Was it still stagey in 85? I bet they really put the pepper in it. I don't know what that means.
Put the pepper in it.
I was negative two in 1985.
Oh, shit.
She
didn't even have a guess, probably.
No, but I could just think of a movie that might have been made in the 50s.
Yeah, okay.
That Joan Rivers would like. Keep on Shining, a movie.
Wait, so you made up a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd really pull one out that Joan Rivers might like. Like you knew of a movie about suicide or... What?
I'm sorry I've ruined your game.
No, basically. You haven't. Oh, it's, okay. That was very exciting, and I bet you no one here knows that. This is a tough one. Hey, shut up! You'll start yelling it out. The lead actress is Nancy Kelly, but Patty McCormick was the young girl who played the bad seed, and that's the name of the movie. Yeah, and it's an interesting movie. It's about this little girl who kind of murders people and gets away with it for a while because she's just a little girl. And but at the very end of the movie, the credits over the end titles, the entire cast comes out and takes a bow, like almost like, this didn't really happen, don't worry.
Whoa.
We're all taking a bow. And then the mother character takes the bad seed and puts her over her knee and gives her a spanking.
That's amazing.
It's fucking adorable. But it's kind of a cool movie. I guess they remade it with Macaulay Culkin several years later. Many years later. But so Tony wins our game with 2 points, right?
Yeah. Sorry I put you on the spot. Nothing personal. Oh,
no. He knocked it down. He got 1-0, which means you'll probably come back for a future Leonard Maltin Tournament of Champions. And yeah, it's very exciting. Let's see. So the winner is Steve, not the one sitting next to me.
Never the one
and man,
sitting
this
next
to me. This is really cool. You got some good stuff. You got, for me, you get, this is hot off the presses, a Doug Benson's Pot the Vote Tour t-shirt. Pot the Vote. I'm going on the Pot the Vote Tour. And here, I'll give it to you all at once. Going on the Pot the Vote Tour this summer in California, starting with July 20th at the Punchline in Sacramento. And then Steve brought a copy of a Sarah Silverman Program script that he signed. And it's one written by Harris Whittles, so it's not a good one. But he's a friend of the show, I could say that. And Ellen wrote the word poop on there for you.
Yeah.
And then we also have a copy of the motion picture Ellen starred in called Whip It, where she played a roller derby phenom. That's the right word for it. You were a phenom in that movie. And she wrote poop on that. And no, she signed her name on that. And a copy of My Dinosaur Life by Motion City soundtrack. You win all that stuff, dude, for coming and sitting close to the stage. Thank you. Thanks for your help with that. And now let's go down the line. Do you have anything that you want to plug coming up while I find out who they want to call shitheads?
I'm still in editing for the sequel to Avatar. No. I have maybe season 3 of Sarah Silverman Program will come out eventually, and that will be the last season to come out.
Oh,
it's all
wow.
Right. It's all right.
But you presented it in a really fun way.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be the last season.
Ever.
Okay. And Ellen, when does Inception come out? July?
July 16th.
16.
Yeah, and then...
And you're going to do like... Do you have to go around and do a bunch of talk shows around the time it comes out?
Yeah. I think I do a junket here late this week, and then we do like a Europe thing, and then comes out here and
nice.
Do some talking.
I'm really excited about it.
I think it's going to be pretty cool, so I hope people enjoy it. Yeah.
Nice. And Super, when's the movie you guys did called Super? When's that coming out? Next year sometime?
They're showing some stuff at Comic-Con, I believe.
Look who didn't talk into the microphone. After giving someone else a hard time about it. Do you have another thing? People love that bit that he just did off microphone that It's like the live audience loves anything that the listener is going to be like, what the fuck is happening? The live audience.
Super will probably be the end of the year, right?
All right.
January, maybe.
Fair enough. But you have something else in the can between now and then?
No, I narrated a documentary called Vanishing of the Bees. Yeah, so that's about how bees are disappearing.
How many are left?
Bee Arthur was the most recent.
People named Bee are dying in an alarming rate.
No, it's the bumblebees,
yes.
Which is actually
yes,
very serious.
It's Seinfeld was busy, so Ellen did the... he did that dumb bee movie. All right. And Tony, what do you got coming up? You're on tour with the band?
Yeah, Friday I start the Warped Tour. I'm on that for about a month.
Nice.
And, oh, okay. So go see Motion City Soundtrack on the Warped Tour, and then track Tony down after the show and be like, I listen to I Love Movies. And he'll be like, it's called Doug Loves Movies now. Because he's a stickler like that. I'm going to be, as I mentioned, I'm going to be at Zany's in Nashville July 9th through 11th. I'm going to do the Benson Interruption at Largo July 12th at Largo in L.A. And the Pot the Vote Tour starts at the Sacramento Punchline on July 20th. Thank you to Tony Thaxton, Ellen Page, and Steve Agee. And as always, Rory McMahon is a shithead, whoever that is. And Sherry Shepherd's a shithead. I know who that is.